terribly. You are part of my family, and when I'm not with you, half of me is not, you know, not where it should be. So I'm kind of, I have a kind of schizophrenia. No, me and Gabi, I think, we live in kind of a schizophrenic life, you know. We live there, and even though God really restored our lives, and after 3 very hard years since we left the States in 2005, if you still remember, time passes so quickly by. We had such a hard time, and we thought, wow, we are out of it. God restored us, and we got our beautiful home in the Galilee region in Israel. And then trials began again. And some of you are familiar with it. I'm not here to talk about myself, so forget about, not forget about, but if you want, you can ask us later on in private. I asked the Lord for a theme, you know, of teaching. What do you want your people to hear this time, that I'm going, yeah? And usually he gives it to me a month, 2 before. He didn't give it to me till about 2 days or 3 days ago. I was panicking. I shouldn't, because I know him. I know he's the Lord of the last minute. Do I like it? No, I don't like it. But the same theme that you spoke about. Prepare yourself. Prepare my people. People, prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord, for the glorious coming of the Lord. I don't know when he's going to come. As I, you know, in my ratio, you know, my logic, it cannot hold too long. I mean, I think 5-10 years. Ooh, I think I even exaggerate. But you know what? I might be wrong. So don't misquote me. It can take 50 years. I doubt it, but I don't know the hour. I don't know even the year, okay? So, but I know that he is very, very close to us. And honestly, all the trials that we pass, lately I really came to the understanding that eventually, I mean, you should have come to understand when you got born again, 8 years ago, yeah? But I finally realized that I only want him. Honestly, I don't care about my house, and I have a beautiful house. Take it today. Don't care about my cars. Don't care about my possession. Don't care about anything. Guess why? Because nothing of those things gives me joy. I mean, sustained joy, you know. For a long time, I can enjoy my deck looking over the Sea of Galilee. Hallelujah. But how long does it stay, you know? Then another trouble comes, and then another, you know. But where is the peace which surpasses all understanding in all circumstances, if I may add? Yeah. So this is the theme. I don't know if it makes sense, but draw closer to me, I think. That's my wish. I don't know what about you. I think I know a little bit. I think that this is the same with you. Okay? So enough with this. Open your Bibles. Let's start with the teaching. This is mine, one of those? This is Ketodametuka. Curtis, am I on for you? Yeah. Okay, let's start. I think the Lord wants us to start in Luke 12. Luke chapter 12. And you will see how it fits our situation. At least most of us who passed through some trials this past year or months or whatever. And I want to go backwards in this chapter, chapter 12 of Luke 12, chapter 12 of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, my beloved Gospel. Verse 16, Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yield plentifully." And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops," thank you, sweetie, "and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? And if you won't turn with me, if not, I will just turn myself, because I already put my notes there, to the epistle of Jacob, James, chapter 4, verse 13. I will just read it and allow me just to go on. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Beloved, only a few months ago, if I would tell you that our Ginole will be in this state, would you believe it? I don't recognize Gino. This is not my Gino. And I don't accept it. Yeah? But guess what? We are like a vapor. And there are two ways to react to Gino's situation to our situation. Okay? Because Gino has it in the physics. Some of us have it in emotion. Some of us, you know? We all lose something in this life, aren't we? And there are two reactions. Oh, what happened? Where are you, God? Or even, what sin did I commit that I'm in this state? Or there is the other one, which is more Hebraic, because that one is Greekanized. Wants the formulas, wants the creeds, wants everything to be logic and understood. The other one, which is more biblical in my humble opinion, is, God, I really don't understand you. You don't make any sense to me. I'm even really mad at you sometimes. Where are you? Why have you forsaken me? But I still will bless your name. You are the God of the universe. I love you. And I think that my situation will get me closer to you. Hallelujah. Ask Gene if you don't believe me. Because Gene, I don't recognize him physically. But guess what? I don't recognize him spiritually. Gino is a different man spiritually. Am I right? You have a much closer walk to our Father and to our Redeemer and to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Gino. So, well, it's harder, but guess what? She is in a... Exactly right. She is also a different woman. Even on her, it's hard to see, because she's always in this level, yeah? But guess what? I believe with all of my heart that she is even much closer today than a few months ago. So, let's continue. 14. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Friends, who we are? Who are we? More and more I see that when you read the gospel that is preached today in the churches is a different one. It's not the gospel of Christ. It's not the gospel of Yeshua. Sorry. It's the gospel of creeds, prosperity, organizations, ministries. I do this for the Lord, I do that for the Lord. It's a gospel of busyness, being too busy even to hear his voice or to know his word, because there is no time even to read his word. It's a different gospel. Why? Because The flesh hates the real gospel. The flesh hates the real gospel. Because the real gospel speaks about death rather than prosperity. It speaks about prosperity which comes from death, out of death situations. It speaks rather of blessings which are an outcome of death, of crucifixion, of dying to self, of carrying this cross daily and following. Now tell me, who preaches such a gospel? This is a controversial gospel. No, but what we want to be so nice. Oh, moochie-poochie kind of Christ. Loving, all loving. Isn't it all loving? Of course he is. But how you draw near to this love? By sufferings, by dying, by hardships, by bumpers along the road, and not by a smooth ride. Beloved, back to the context of the parable of this stupid man, this fool man who wanted to build big barns. What was the context of Yeshua's parable? In order to read the context, you don't need to have a PhD. You just read a few verses before, right? So let's read them. Verse 13 of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Then one from the crowd, and soon, you remember I told you we're going backwards in chapter 12? Soon you will see why. One of the crowds, which crowd, we will find out later. Say to him, Teacher, Rabbi, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. He said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take heed and be aware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. But before you say amen, if you read the context of this man, of the crowd who came to Yeshua and told him, please, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. If you read the context, it will sound to you, the man's words, divide with me, coming to Yeshua and talking about inheritance, sounds so out of context. Because the context, remember we go backward, is what I'm going to read to you now. Verse 1. Luke 12:1. In the meantime, when an incredible multitude of people had gathered together so that trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Beloved, he speaks in a context, dark context of hypocrisy. Too many times it is misused or misquoted those words and say, oh, no, go on the top roof, Mike, and speak the gospel. It does not speak about it at all. It speaks about your gossip behind doors in hidden places. It speaks about the Pharisaic hypocrisy. And he warns us, this is a warning, this is not a teaching to go to the rooftop and preach the gospel. He warns us that whatever we say in darkness will be revealed, so be careful. Don't be like the Pharisees who are not aware of this truth, that everything which is they think is hidden, once will be revealed. Be careful. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard, like I told you, in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear, in inner rooms, in other words, gossiping, will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should be you fear. Fear he who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Guess what? He doesn't speak about the devil here. The devil has no power to kill. The devil has no power to cast you to hell. All that the devil has, he has in permission, by permission. I tell you, fear him, God. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten from before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Beloved, the context is end times context, when we will be persecuted to death. If you don't believe me, let's continue reading. And I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before them, before men, will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now when they bring you, this is the context, end time talk context. When they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Then one from the crowd came. Teacher, tell my brother to divide my inheritance. Fool, so out of context. He spoke with you about highly matters of life. He spoke about how dear you are to God, right? You are so dear, much more than sparrows. You are so dear that all the hair on your head are counted by God. Nothing is hidden of his face, yeah? He speaks about end time persecutions of the believers. He does not promise that we will not be persecuted. But he promises that within the persecutions, the hairs on our head are counted. Are you with me? That within the hardships of life, we are so beloved by God. Are you with me? Is it really out of context what this man of the crowd came and asked? Surprisingly enough, no. It is on a certain level, on the religious, soulish level. It's not on the spiritual level. Even though this man was completely fleshly, but he did not know what he is talking about. Because we are all who follow Yeshua are, forgive my accent, heirs, inheritors. You say heirs, right? H-E-I-R. You know what I mean. Yorshim in Hebrew. We are all God's Yorshim. We will inherit not $1 million that our father left us, if you're so lucky. Yeah? My beloved, usually you inherit debts. Friends, we will inherit the heavens and the earth. Did you know it? The Bible speaks about it. We are God's heirs. Yes or no? Divide the inheritance. Tell my brother. He was in the soulish level. He did not get it. The coin did not fall yet. Do you see what I mean? Yeshua speaks about, follow me, whatever the cost is. Follow me, don't be afraid of those who can kill the flesh. Be afraid of those, of him, who can kill the flesh and then cast your soul into hell. And the coin did not fall, beloved. And this is the life story of Yeshua. And guess what? of his true followers. We took to our non-believing families when we broadcast on the spiritual level, and they completely misunderstand us. So what did he say? What do you do? What kind of money do you do, Scott? I mean, the non-believing friend or family, yeah? You talk about spiritual stuff, about the need of them to repent and come to the flock, back to the flock, and they are completely missing it. This is the life story of Yeshua. And if this is not the life story of your, if it's not your life story, something is wrong in your spirituality. Because then it means, if everybody understands you, Brian, all around you, the non-believing world, if everybody understands you, it means that something is wrong with your spirituality. They misunderstood Yeshua. And if you are a true follower of him, what? So, what do you expect? Beloved, we are... Hi, sweetie. Give me a hug. We are God's Yorshim. I say Yorshim because I can never... My wife tells me that I can never differentiate between the H and the E and the A, whatever, yeah? Yeah? We are God's heirs. Beloved, we do... That's why we do not need to think about inheritance of this world. Do you see what I mean? That's why we need to put aside all the cares of this world. And if you read in the context, by the way, do not worry for what you will eat, what you will drink. Continue, it's in the context, yeah? Of this same very chapter, Luke 12, 13 speaks about end times. It speaks about how much we are beloved, how dear we are to our Father. He knows our need, but seek first the kingdom of God. This is the higher level that Mike spoke about according to my conviction, my walk with God. He wants to bring us to the end of our very self. So we will look to the most important things in our lives, which is only one, kingdom of God. And how can I advance the kingdom of God? But in order to do so, we must first understand that number one, he chose us. He chose us. First, before we chose him. Jeremiah, come quickly. Because I know you need to give me a hug and then sit. Number two, beloved. What was number one? Thank you. He chose us. Number two, he loved us first. Are you with me still? He loved us first. And thus, beloved, we can be confident even if we lose everything in the flesh. Do you see what I mean? If we do not understand that we are the very heirs of God, we will fail in the hardships which are coming to this world. We need to be prepared. You cannot be fully prepared to what is coming on this world without understanding this basic, that God loves you so much. God counts each hair on your head. You are much more dear than two sparrows. That he chose you first before you even thought about him. That he loved you before you even think you knew even what real love is, because till then you knew lust and not love. My friends, this is the basis, this is the foundation. Now, if you know that this is the foundation, Galatians 3, 4 will be understood clearly. You will not think immediately that Paul speaks against the Torah. No. Paul speaks in a certain level. And we, if we are still in the soulish level, religious level, we will misunderstand him. Paul speaks in Yeshua's level there, and he tells us that we are God's heirs, but he tells us that we must come to maturity. We must come to maturity. I cannot inherit. Okay, do you say it again? My Michael, I cannot give him my inheritance when he's 12. He's still a kiddo. Can I expect him to go to the bank now? and to sign checks. And no, he's still a kiddo. That's why he's under tutors, under schoolmasters. That's the Torah. Is under a certain level. But God is calling us, for God's sake, up above the Torah. Yes, there is something above the Torah. The Torah is not an idol. The Torah is not God. The Torah was given by God Almighty to point us to something which is above, much above, exceedingly above the Torah, which is to know him as friends, as mature adults, so he can tell us, okay, this star is yours. You like this star? You like this city? It's yours. You like it? It's yours. Come, faithful servant. You are good with one talent, take 10. 10 cities. We are hers, my beloved. But guess what? Most of us are falling. Are you still with me? Most of us are falling while on the walk of maturity. And there is... there are a few stages of maturity that I want to talk with you about, some of which will be based on the Torah portion, like we do usually. Okay, we are Torah study group here. Beloved, the main stages of growth, you know, just in the physics, in the natural, yeah? What are they? Baby who was just born, right? Out of the water. We were born out of the water as well, crossing the Red Sea. By the way, each stage in our maturity involves crossing. This is Hebrew, the Hebraic mindset. Hebrew from la'avor, to cross over. Abraham was a Hebrew, our forefather, yeah? He crossed over the Euphrates, the Tigris, you know, and many others, yeah? On his way. You cross from one stage to another. And are you ready for the surprise? As you cross from a stage, one stage to another, the physical, the natural conditions are becoming worse. More death and more death and more killing. To take out the child. I mean, the reborn human being and maturing, 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 maturing. So they crossed the Red Sea. And they left Egypt behind. The authority of Satan. Okay? But still, they are slave. They are Egyptian-oriented. So this is where the desert is, the desert walk. Of course, you get the Holy Spirit, you get the Torah, yeah? And you walk towards your what? Inheritance. Right? Remember we are heirs? The Torah shows us the foreshadows, the pictures of the heavenly realm. You see what I mean? Everything which is expressed in the Torah speaks to the physical, soulish level. That's why the religious folks in Yeshua's time could not understand him, because he wanted to draw them. Come to me, come to me. I am the one that the Torah talks about. Come to your inheritance. I brought you out of Egypt, the world. Now start the walk with me. Don't worry, I will not leave you alone. I will give you this praklit, this lawyer, yeah, in Greek, this Holy Spirit. He will be with you all the time. I myself, I'm your high priest. I understand everything that you're passing through this desert walk. I am interceding for you. Not only that, I'm taking you on my breast, remember? The judgment breast. How do you call it in English? Breastplate, yeah, but it's in Hebrew it's Choshen HaMishpat, yeah? It's the judgment, yeah? Plate. You remember all the names are there? Dear to his heart, he intercedes for us in the heavenlies. Okay, beloved? But is it all the story? No. We need to cross yet another river before we get to full maturity. And this river is called the Jordan River. Each one of us, Jordan, each one of us needs to cross the Jordan River as well. It's not enough to cross the Red Sea. It's not enough to walk through the desert. We need to enter to our maturity, full maturity, so we can fight the heights. We need to enter completely new. And what am I talking about? With no remains of our other brothers. I want you to turn with me to Genesis 25. And while we do, let me, not sidetracked, but tell you a little bit about the situation in Israel. Well, this one word to describe it. Bad. Very bad. I mean, it does not look promising. It doesn't look promising. Wake up. Look at the news. Read the newspapers, yeah? And by the way, mainly read this newspaper. The tomorrow's newspaper. The Bible, yeah? Situation in Israel doesn't go up. It actually goes down, okay? But beloved, many, many still miss the point. They think that the struggle there is over territories, right? They are right. This is territorial, but friends, they miss the spiritual level. It is a struggle between two brothers. Or one brother and his other brothers. Soon you will see. Soon you will see. Beloved, only one brother will inherit God's promises which were given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Only one brother. Okay? The others need to remain on the east side of the Jordan River. Are you with me? Speaking about inheritance. Go with me to Genesis 25.